2011, rather, the World Health Organization and the World Bank released a report on disability. One of the key findings was that up to 15% of people with people in the world live with some form of disability. Now, people who live with disability face several challenges caused by societal attitude, physical infrastructures, and communication barriers. We want to talk about that disability in the context of South Sudan. Now, we are particularly focusing on the work that is being done by the International Organization of Migration, which is IOM. Now, to help us have that conversation and understand, we are glad to have Henry Shwaka Leke, who is an inclusion advisor at IOM South Sudan. Good morning, Henry, and it's good to have you here on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning, Sebit, and good morning, Irene, and thanks so much for hosting me. Yeah, it's a great privilege for being here this morning to talk about this important topic.
Great. Now, we understand that IOM carried out a survey on the state of people with disabilities in South Sudan. Help us understand the challenges that are faced by people with disabilities in the country.
Thank you so much. So the surveys that we have conducted are in particular locations. So as of now, there hasn't been a nationwide survey or in terms of statistical data. But the surveys that we have conducted, we conducted in places like Bentiu, Malakal, Wau, Awil South, Toin South. And so basically, the surveys focused on the numbers, but more importantly, the barriers and enablers to disability inclusion. And so among the key findings of those surveys were issues around attitudes of society, just like you highlighted, in terms of people with disabilities in the camps particularly, because these surveys focused mostly on the displaced population. So there were issues such as people with disabilities not being recognized as, you know, equal members of their communities, but also, you know, issues around robbery, particularly during times of distribution, discrimination, and also the challenges such as physical infrastructure. So the facilities in the camps, for example, you had the toilets, the latrines and the wash facilities, not being fully accessible to people with certain impairments. So, for example, if you have a building that does not take into account or a facility that is just built without understanding the particular needs of people with different impairments, somebody using a wheelchair, for example, would not be able to access, you know, because the door could be narrow, they couldn't be able to access those facilities. So those were some of the barriers that we identified through those surveys. But then we also started working with persons with disabilities to be able to address those. Of course, it's still work in progress, but I can say that we are doing what we can to be able to improve the situation. Currently, actually, we are conducting two other surveys. We just completed one in Malakal in collaboration with Humanity and Inclusion. We are going to do one in Rank, particularly targeting the returnees from Sudan.
Great. And we understand IOM is doing something to address the problems. But first, within the organization itself, what do you do to make sure that staff are sensitized about disability?
Yeah, so within the organization, we have sessions on inclusion. We conduct trainings. We target our own staff and enlighten them about inclusion. So how do you, interact with persons with disabilities in a respectful manner? What language to use? Because, you know, society has various ways in which disability is understood. So, for example, if someone has an impairment, you don't call them by their impairment. But also, if, for example, you are meeting someone who is deaf, so what are you supposed to do? If you have an interpreter, fine. If not, then you basically find a way of being able to communicate. So we conduct that, and we also train especially frontline staff in terms of how to make sure that they consult persons with disabilities along with the rest of members of society. So if there are focus group discussions, if there are activities that involve everyone in the community, they should make sure that they reach out to persons with disabilities.
And how does this training within the IOM help in the delivery of services?
Well, it does help because we have heard from our staff who have attended those trainings. So, for example, we had our MHPSS teams, those who deliver mental health and psychosocial support programs. Initially, one of their gaps was how to communicate with people who are deaf. So if you have someone who is deaf and that person requires counseling, for example, and as a counselor, you don't know sign language. So that became one of the gaps that we had to address. Mm-hmm. And eventually we managed to hire specialists in sign language, and they trained our staff in the field locations. And then after that, we have realized that there has been progress, so they can now communicate better with people with such impairments. Great. That's just one of the many things.
All right. Now, how does the training within IOM help in, of course, you did mention on how it's helping in the delivering of services, but we also understand that you work with organizations of people with disabilities in capacity building. Tell us more about that work.
Yes, absolutely. So I work with these organizations, aims at strengthening them, building their capacities, because the thing is that not many organizations not many actors work directly with organizations of persons with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And for example, we focus on supporting them to be able to, plan. So things like strategic planning, how to write projects by themselves. So for organizations that are big, we tend to focus on those. But the ones that are outside Juba, for example, those that are just beginning, we focus on basic things, on like how do you ensure that you have regular meetings with your staff. But mm-hmm. one thing I would like to point out is that we do not actually sort of impose our thinking on them. So we use the approach that we just sit with them and we engage them on what are their priorities, how would they like to move, because we believe in the principle of disability inclusion, which says nothing about us without us. So we work with them instead of work for them.
This is very important indeed. And why is it important to build the capacity of these local organizations?
It's so important because only when their capacities are built will they be able to advocate effectively. There are serious issues. There are several issues that, just like you mentioned, mm-hmm. for those barriers to be broken. People with disabilities themselves have to be the primary stakeholders. Mm-hmm. But if they're not empowered, if they don't have the knowledge, we agree that knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. So if they are not empowered enough, they wouldn't be able to go far. And so we invest in capacity building because we know that. And also, of course, these are national organizations. IOM may not be doing that, for quite a long time, right? International organizations, normally, the best thing to do is to build the local capacities.
Absolutely. So yes. When they leave, the local ones can take over.
Sure.
Great. You also extend to individual protection assistance. What's that, and what sort of assistance do you offer?
Yeah, so individual protection assistance refers to assistance that is provided to people who are in, require who have basic needs that are, we normally categorize them. So, for example, you have people who are very vulnerable and maybe struggling with even fixing their shelters or unable to meet very, very basic needs. So this kind of assistance is provided not only for persons with disabilities, for all vulnerable persons, but in particular we target those with disabilities because based on the barriers and the challenges that they face, mm-hmm. they are less likely to be able to cope than the rest of society. So it's not much assistance, but we're talking about something like maybe $50 or so. Mm-hmm. But that has helped, and we have received feedback from them it makes a difference.
Yeah, can go a long way to help. Let's talk about, when we're talking about obstacles and challenges that people with disabilities face, one of the biggest of all is people's attitude. Sure. towards people with disabilities. What more needs to be done when it comes to ensuring that society responds positively to people with disabilities, particularly children as well?
Yeah, so what more needs to be done is for us to recognize and promote the abilities of persons with disabilities. They, you know, what they can do, what skills they have, because in most cases people just think, well, this is someone with a disability, and they are viewed from that perspective as people who only need to be supported. But the right, or what we need to do more, is to be able to strengthen their participation. So we do things like sports, for example. You have several sports that persons with disabilities can participate in. Mm-hmm. So wheelchair basketball, you have goalball, you have a lot of things. I mean, mm-hmm. persons with disabilities can do music. I mean, they can do a lot of things. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, to answer that question, I would say we need to now move from looking at them as people who need help to people who can do things when they are supported.
Absolutely. We have as well the Paralympics that people with disabilities can definitely participate in, and that's something that needed to be supported.
Certainly.
Henry, thank you so much for coming to Mirror Studios. But just before, of course, we conclude, let's continue. Now, there is something, talking about sports, there's something exciting that the IOM has done on sporting activities for people with disabilities in WOW.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we worked with the Sports Association of Persons with Disabilities in WOW, and we supported them. They have a wheelchair basketball team, and we supported a tournament there in 2021, I think. We also actually supported them to build a basketball court, and we provided also uniforms. So that's what I'm saying. So we believe in the abilities of persons with disabilities, and this was a priority for them. And you know, they started that, but they needed additional support. And so we realized that you know, we needed to support them. And the tournament was successful, and you know, it was a great achievement, because you know, with sports, you, it's not only beneficial to the players themselves, but it sends a message to the entire community.
Indeed.
That, you know, these people can do. And if they can do sports, they can do lots of other things.
Absolutely. Now, your final words on the need to put more efforts on removing barriers and empowering people with disabilities. What will you say?
Yeah, so my word would be for humanitarian actors and development agencies, what we need to do is to work with persons with disabilities. We shouldn't leave them out. We should engage them, and we shouldn't look at disability as inability, because the UN Convention clearly states that disability results from the barriers or the interaction between impairment and barriers. So we need to focus on data. Let's disaggregate data by disability. Whenever we have assessments, let's make sure that disability is reflected. Let's put also to donors, I would urge that we consistently fund programs on disability inclusion, particularly in South Sudan.
Henry Swaka Lege, thank you so much for coming to Mirror Studios. We wish you all the best, and we
thank
do
you.
Appreciate your time here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.